This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Obviously, Kevin Pitullo, I mean, you probably saw the news yesterday, the new offensive coordinator of the Eagles. Now, he has not yet spoken as the offensive coordinator of the Eagles, but he did speak recently, knowing that, you know, the job could come his way. And a reporter named Chase Sr. tracked down Pitullo around Super Bowl coverage.
Shout out to Chase. I know Chase.
You do?
Yeah, he was in when I went to grad school at Temple. Uh-huh. He was undergrad at the same time we were at the Temple radio station together. Yeah, we did the show with Zach Gelb at Temple Radio.
Very cool. Well, congrats to Chase Sr. because he got some good audio from Kevin Pitullo. Let's listen to Pitullo again. This was, I think, prior to the Super Bowl, I believe.
Yes,
talking about what his role with the Eagles has been, because we all wonder, you know, like, who is he? What's he done? How involved has he been? All that stuff, because he now gets to a bigger chair here as the OC. Here's Pitullo on what his role had been.
Nick said that sometimes he'll run head coaching managerial duties through you. So can you just explain your role and your relationship with Nick and how you help him through an assortment of things?
Yeah, I think since we got here in 21, him and I have worked very closely together. And some of that stuff's been, like I said, anything from an offensive role or a head coaching type role. And a lot of it can be whether it's staffing, whether it's decisions, personnel, scheduling, things like that. So it's really a lot of the day-to-day stuff that a head coach does. I've been very privileged to be a part of, which has been very, you know, great for my career working forward. And then as far as the offensive stuff, since 21 as well, I've kind of been in the forefront with the offensive coordinator working on everything from day-to-day stuff to planning to, you know, the play calling stuff on game day and structuring things. So I've had a unique seat, and it's been great for my career. And wherever it goes, it goes. But I'm very fortunate to be the role I'm in and be trusted for what I do. And it's been a lot of fun working with Nick.
All right, so that's Pitullo, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Okay. I love that he was a big part of the planning. And we heard that from Nick way back when, that he was a huge part of the planning when he was in Indianapolis and in San Diego. That didn't make him a good play caller.
Well, it didn't make Brian Johnson an effective offensive coordinator who was involved as well. So
I'm just saying,
you know,
I legitimately don't know. Like,
we'll find out.
It really is a separate concept. Like, you can be an incredible play designer and planner of an offense, but then on game day not be able to get into the rhythm of the offense and the way that Jalen is feeling, the way that he's you could be adverse to tapping into what makes him best.
Well, you're right. They are two different things. Play design and play calling in the moment are two totally different things.
No question.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have no idea.
Well,
but we just have to see.
Well,
and
we
owe them, I believe, the benefit of the doubt to some degree.
To some degree.
Yeah, coming off a Super Bowl win.
They certainly deserve some runway. And I think that they learned from the whole coordinator thing, the mistakes that they made in the past. And I think that they would not make this decision unless they felt very comfortable about it.
Right.
After having learned through what happened a couple of years back and where they were last year, I think that, you know, Howie Roseman is one of those guys who makes adjustments. And I think that He's one of those guys that I don't believe will make the same mistake twice.
You know what, Ruben? I'll give that a maybe, and I'll tell you why. So I know it's nice to lean into feeling that way, and I agree with John's phrase, that they, meaning Howie and Nick, deserve the benefit of the doubt. I think, John, you said to some degree, or whatever you just said there.
Yeah.
Because, Ruben, I will say this. They also had success in 22, totally botched 23. I mean, totally botched it. And, you know, I also know...
And then told us they didn't. If they knew how to fix it, they would have.
Well, yeah.
Which is,
and they eventually did for 24.
But they did fix it.
No, they did. But I guess what I'm getting at, Ruben, is this: what we don't know on the outside is this. If the Eagles' season had ended January 10th instead of February 9th, would Kevin Pitullo be who they hired if they had the entire NFL to hire from?
Probably not.
Well, I don't know. Maybe not. I'll say maybe not. Maybe, probably not.
I mean, the timing factor.
I don't think it's a definite probably not, though.
No, like, it's not a definite.
I think it's definitely a maybe.
Not.
Like, this is Sirianni's guy. Like, he's his right hand man. If they thought they were going to lose him, like, they might have hired him either way.
I know, but I also know.
You might have heard about interviews.
Like,
you heard nothing.
The Lions got to hire an offensive coordinator before the Eagles.
Sure.
The Jets got to hire an offensive coordinator. Like, I don't know.
That's why I think it's a maybe.
It is a maybe. Yeah. It's a maybe. It's amazing. So it just complicates it. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get to Tim right now in South Philadelphia. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing great, Tim.
World chance, man. I had a feeling that, like, for seriously, like the NFC Championship Super Bowl, I was telling my wife all week. I just had a feeling we were just – our defense were dogs. We was just, it wasn't going to be close at all.
I was shocked, Tim. I'm just being honest with you. And I do think, having seen it now, if they played the game 10 times, I think the Eagles would have won them all. And I think they would have won a bunch of them in blowouts. But going into the game, I did not feel that.
I just had that gut feeling. I just felt like kind of like how Saquon said in his speech, like, no matter how many times they was there, how many times they won.
Yeah.
Ever played a team like ours? You know what I mean.
I do. Right. Yeah, I do.
But I'm hoping they could figure something out and bring at least Becton and Baum back.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable, especially with the increase in the money we've got to use. I think that Zach Bond is not looking to break the bank, that he knows that he is most valuable here, and Mekhi Becton is in the same position.
Well, I'll just say this, Tim. When John says, you know, that Bond's not looking to break the bank, I don't know that to be true at all. It's his first and will be his only shot at a massive payday.
Yeah.
So... you know, now look, is it possible, I think this is what John's sort of alluding to, is it possible that if he gets offered $30 million here and $35 million elsewhere, that he says, you know what, I'll do the $30 million here because I'm happy and I'm comfortable here, and let's go try to win it all again. Yeah, that is possible. But if he gets offered $30 here and $50 somewhere else?
Oh, my God.
We're talking money here.
Having been in that position.
The guy's been he's been paid like a special teamer.
99.9% of the time, it's about the money, guys. Okay, loyalty is one thing. It's not about loyalty necessarily, but
This is such a unique scenario, though.
It is. Everybody's different, but I will tell you.
Remember, Vic Fangio took him and said, hey, you're not a special teamer.
The money.
And by the way, I think especially for a guy who hasn't made...
This is so extenuating,
though. Well, it's different.
No, I'm with you, Joe. Like, he hasn't made money yet. Like, it's one thing if he was a first-round pick or this or that. Exactly.
Becton actually has probably made, I'm just going to take a guess here, guys.
30, 40, something like that.
I was going to say 10 times more money than Bond.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
Right,
yeah.
He was a first-round pick and a high first-round pick.
I mean, even the contract, the one-year deal they signed him to is double. Like, it was $3 million for Bond, it was $6 million for Becton
right,
you know?
Right. All right, Tim, fascinating stuff. Give me an answer. Notable replacement, good or bad?
Anybody say Aunt Viv from Fresh Prince?
No, it had to be.
Great answer.
Good answer, my man, for sure. All right, Ruben, I need a ruling from you because we're about to play audio because, you know, we're going to be playing it the rest of our lives. The Backward Leap by Saquon. And the Cooper DeJean interception return in the Super Bowl. Now, we had a poll last week, which was the play of the year. I know which one won. You might not know. Both DeJean yesterday on WIP and Saquon yesterday on the Today Show on NBC, talked about those plays. So I want to play the audio, both of the plays and their talking yesterday. But prior to that, Ruben, which do you think was the play of the year?
I think DeGene, just because of the situation.
More important. It's more important
to win a championship. And I think that really set the tone. And it made it sort of happen. I think athletically, as far as one individual play, I think I'm sort of
clearly
playing the political. It's got to be Barkley. Right. I'm playing political. But so, as far as if you're going to, you know, if you're going to really ask me the question, which was the most important play of the season?
Well, we didn't say most important. We said play of the year could be determined as
Cooper
people.
DeGene.
All right. So 54% said Cooper. 46% said Saquon. I think it should be Saquon, but look, it's debatable. Let's play them both. Let's start with the Saquon play. We'll go in sequential order of when they occurred. So Saquon was an all-time athletic, brilliant player.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Play. Let's first listen to Merrill and Mike's call of the play, then what Saquon said yesterday about it. Here's Merrill and Mike. I guess this is, I think, back in October.
He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, and comes down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life. He hurdles a guy backwards. How do you jump over a guy backwards?
He did.
What am I watching?
So good. So good. All right, so let's listen.
Also funny, real quick, we never talk about it, but it was a passing play. Yeah. You know, we think about the year Saquon had running the ball. Yeah. Like, the play that we'll remember was actually a pass. Yeah. It's kind of funny.
In the flat, and he makes the first two guys miss, and then, you know, the ultimate with the leap. All right, let's listen to Saquon yesterday. He was on the Today Show. Cool stuff with Saquon on that national platform. And this was maybe more than I remember him doing in the past, a description of the play and sort of what went into it as him as an athlete preparing for moments. Now, unfortunately, some freaking person here cuts him off when he's saying something fascinating. I'm ticked at whoever that guy or gal was. You'll hear it in a moment. But pretty good description. Here's Saquon.
Yeah, I mean, you always dream about having an iconic play and, you know, a spin move to a backwards jump.
Or, I mean, is that like you're just riffing or is like, do you rehearse that? I mean,
I'm not gonna lie to you. Yeah. You have times where in the offseason you joke around and you imagine stuff like that. But
who did you hurdle? Who's 22 on Jackson? Who is that? Did you talk to him after?
Right, I think his name's Campbell. I saw he did like a little interview about it. He had fun with it. But yeah, that jump, I could
I can say I work all as hard as I can, and I do, but God took his time on me a little bit when it comes to this football thing, and I just got lucky there.
All right, really cool answer. I do wish the frickin' dude hadn't cut him off when he's describing in the offseason how he thinks about these things. And it's like, oh, who's your hurdle? Who cares who your hurdles? Who cares? That's annoying. Anyway, pretty good answer from Saquon. Unfortunately, it got, you know, cut off a bit. All right, let's get to the Cooper DeJean play. So let's get to Merrill's call in the Super Bowl. Of course, you'll remember it was 10-0 at this time. And then the DeJean play kind of begins the romp, if you will. Because Cooper DeJean's touchdown and AJ's touchdown, because of Zach Bond's interception, they happened in a relatively short period of time. Let's listen. Let's go back less than 2 weeks ago now. Super Bowl 59. And certainly one of the great plays in Eagles history.
It is 3rd and 16 for the Chiefs. Face it, the staunchest defense of the season. Back goes Mahomes. He's looking. It's intercepted. It's intercepted. Running with the football to the 25. Down the far side is DeJean. And DeJean is in for a touchdown.
Cooper DeJean, a pick six in the Super Bowl on your birthday. Happy birthday, kid.
So good. You know, Rube, that's the moment where I was at my brother's with my mom and Amy and my sister-in-law and their kids. That was our biggest moment of celebration, the whole. Because, you know, the kneel down's a kneel down at the end of the game, but that was the moment where we just went. We went wild.
As you should have.
Right?
And I heard that Amy was with you guys. I didn't even know the whole final.
She came through.
Wow, what a gamer.
She did well.
That's the most important statement you just made
now,
about that.
Yeah. We would have blamed her forever if the Eagles collapsed in the second half because she left at halftime.
Well, of course.
But could you imagine that, James?
I was planning to leave where I was at halftime, and I didn't leave because I was like, I can't go.
But she showed up where she had to.
Better instinct than you have.
Clearly. Always. All right, let's get to Cooper DeJean. He was on yesterday with the Midday Show. So Joe and Hugh, middays with Cooper DeJean yesterday, and he gave a description of the interception.
We were playing zone coverage, and you know, it was a rollout pass kind of, and there's a guy to the flat, and Zach actually went and took that guy to the flat, which allowed me just to play off of him and, you know, fall back inside for anything that might be coming back across the middle. Just from watching Mahomes, you know, he likes to, you know, he can make any throw on the field, and I've seen him throw across his body multiple times and complete passes. So I just saw him coming across, and you know, Mahomes was looking there, so I just stepped right in front of it.
Pretty cool stuff.
Did you take issue with Amy leaving halfway through?
Yes, back to this. I'll just say this. I was concerned for her. If the Eagles collapsed, she would have been blamed forever.
Oh, yeah.
That's very thoughtful.
It is what it is.
But I was so appreciative that she was there for the first half, because the whole point was for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl and for her to do what needed to be done to help that cause.
But you were already formulating blame.
Well, up 24-0, I felt pretty...
her way.
But I felt pretty confident up 24-0.
But you were worried about what had happened at 22.
Yeah.
But
and also
you were
20-3
to blame her.
All of it. All right.
Okay.
And you were a smidgen upset that she was taking off.
Smidgen. Smidgen upset.